Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 35, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is entitled Super Sunday.
Super Sunday.
Sounds like a football promotion.
Or a
election thing. Super Sunday.
Watch the
Man United play some football.
Well, it's funny, because I'm a Steelers fan, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Redemption Sunday for them.
Ooh.
Because they got so
Redemption
battered.
Redemption Sunday.
They got so battered the week before they had Redemption Sunday. And they so dominated the game that I stopped watching at half time because it was over. It was
like, they were winning?
This week, on Redemption Sunday.
And you stopped winning,
watching your team winning the game? It was like punching a kid in the face. They were playing a good team.
Okay.
But,
fair enough.
It's like Blood Bowl when you've only got two... you've only got two models there.
It's Spaghetti again.
And you're playing Dwarves. So it's like, oh, just give in, mate. Whatever. Whatever. Right. Oh, we've got to talk about that. The season that never ended.
Yes, yeah, well... That's later on.
Yeah. Mm. So that's it. What have you been up to, Paul? Should I do mine first? Because you've got a lot on you.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not on this section, in the other section. Go on, you do yours.
Obviously, I have much news to report. In fact, this is a really big episode for news, actually, because I've got
full,
much big news.
Chock full of news.
So I've got much news to say about what I was up to on Sunday. And since we last recorded, we recorded earlier in the day on Wednesday. Today is Wednesday midday of the 5th. Of October. At the club last week, I did this 7-player Aptus Titanicus game.
Excellent.
And that was really good fun. People brought some of their own engines and I brought mine and, you know, like randomly picked which engine you got.
Engine, obviously.
I did the first, but it died the first. It was
first shot, yeah.
Yeah. So I got the Warlock Titan, yeah, probably arguably the strongest one of the Titans I had on offer. And I ran him at Rid's, like, a Warhound Titan, who probably shot him in the head with a plasma blast gun, and he died. And, like,
super.
I've rolled the one for the holofield, I failed the armor roll, he made the max damage roll, I was dead. but it was good. It worked really well, because the bunch of players took it in the right spirit of play. Because, you know, there was some very uneven Titans in there.
Okay. Didn't get competitive towards the end or anything?
Well, I mean...
I did see a bit of shenanigans towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. But that was players, not game. You know, like, the players changed for later on and... shake your head at that.
But it seemed a success.
Yes, it was.
Plenty of players.
It was really fun. And it's like that's the kind of thing I like to do down the club. Bring this, like, kind of once or occasional, like, go at something a bit zany. Yeah, you know, and have everyone have a laugh at it.
So you had like 10 players overall.
Overall, yeah. Overall, I mean, the first game went really well with 7 of us, and
yeah, cool,
fantastic. I mean, the epic rules held together quite well for that, and Titans are just the fun.
So how did you win last man standing? Like,
yeah, last man standing. Yeah,
Royal Rumble.
I mean, and obviously by the end, by when the players started like dying off, and it was down to like the last couple, you started to realise, oh. Probably the individual Titans couldn't really hurt each other. We found the Tyranid ones to be really good, like, because they'd just keep alive, and like if they got into close combat, they were very strong in close combat. So you can offset that in a bigger game because they haven't got shields, so they're getting peppered all the time.
Right.
But the individual Titan on Titan against Bio Titan, probably the Bio Titan's going to win because.
Do they have a ability to heal? Or
yeah, they do, but they have no like it is dead result. Like it is very wounded,
right.
Like, you know, but it's still there for a round. Like it recovers at the end of its turn,
right.
And if it doesn't recover enough, it's dead. So that made like you could like an Imperial Titan like gets hit in the reactor and explodes.
That's it.
Like a Bio Titan gets half its head blown off and it's still alive. It's like, oh,
that sounds kind of a bit of fluff driven. That's good. Mm-hmm. What else have you been doing? Is that it?
Well,
apart from the Super Sunday.
The title of the episode. Yeah.
Super Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right, good. So what did I do? I played a 23-player draft on a new set, Kaladesh.
Ooh.
It's Chandra's home plane, apparently, and it's all about artifacts and vehicles and dwarves and stuff. Artificers.
Dwarves like mining, by the way.
And driving vehicles, apparently.
Yeah. What?
You have to like jump in vehicles and make them work, like trains and skyships. It's a bit mad. But that's the first time I've seen the cards because I didn't do any pre-releases. And we had a monstrous 23 players. It was really hard work.
Too much?
I wouldn't say too much. But it's borderlining because people don't sign up in advance. So you need... I need, like, truckloads of product. I need to be a shop to carry this much product. Like, I only just had enough product with two boxes, which is like, yeah,
124 packs?
That's like 72 packs.
72 packs.
I only just had enough product.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I was like...
Well, you might have to limit it, mightn't you?
I don't know, and the pub's bursting at the seams. Well, the landlord's still miserable.
Is he still miserable?
He's but still miserable.
Well, he must be loving it. Like,
well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And that barmaid.
Because even if if everyone buys one drink, that's 23 drinks. Like, that's more than two pissed locals will buy, won't they? Like,
well, I guess, yeah.
It's money to them. They can't moan, can they? Are they still moaning?
Well, I think some people just like to moan. I can empathise with that.
That pub was dead quiet. Like, and you fill it with geeks and they moan. Ah, oh, it's the wrong type of people.
Anyway, it was busy. What else? I played Guild Ball against Harvey last week. Harvey's a pundit.
Mm-hmm.
He was using Union? No, who are the guys
who
play?
What? Masons. Guys,
Masons.
We should play a game of Guild Ball.
I beat him 12-0.
Oh, right.
Huh?
No.
And he had the ball, so I had to take the ball off him and then score and then score and score.
Are you going to play in the club's forthcoming Harvey's?
I cannot because it's a Sunday.
So you can't? On. Right.
No, because I've got both my boys play football on Sunday morning, so Sundays are out.
I am going to, but it's off the back of my last night shift at that time, so I'm going to have no sleep.
That won't work so well for you.
I'm going to get Dave to take me. Because that's the thing, is like recently with night shifts, off the last night shift, I've tried staying awake to like then shake you back into your day routine rather than going to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that day's tiring, but it kind of works. So I'm willing to do it because Dave's going to take me.
How many games are you talking? Four?
Okay. I mean, I might just... Obviously, I'll probably nap in between the games. wake me up to play. But you got to make use of your time. And like, yeah, I don't want my job to... dominate me, so it's like I am. I'm not at work at that time, so I'll go play. It's not in Chelmsford though. It's in Takeley.
It's where he lives, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, it's like. I mean, apparently he tried to set it up at our club's venue, and they wanted too much. They were like, "Oh, you've got to have a bar, and you know, too much." It wasn't worth. It was far cheaper to play host it where it is. Because you think Guild Ball, everyone brings the mats and the scenery.
It's like the Chelmsford bunker.
It could be anywhere, couldn't it? Yeah, it could be anywhere. Like, yeah, I totally get that.
That's why you do 40k.
Yeah. It's a shame that our club venue like doesn't kind of realise that and just basically prices us to go somewhere else, doesn't it? It's a shame. Yeah. But this is a long term issue. It's not a short. I mean, to our listeners, our club venue is fantastic for a weekly event, within a weekday, but they charge too much money for a weekend for what we want of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they insist on us having a bar, and that's fair enough. These are the rules, but it. You know, what it results in us just taking the business elsewhere.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Mm-hmm. So a game against Harvey, which was really good, and a game against Eric of Guild Ball as well this week.
Is he using Brewers?
He's got Hunters now.
Oh, yeah, he likes Hunters, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, they're like Circle, aren't they? So, and they've got guns. They've got this girl who can just shoot unlimited guns. She's got, like, infinite rate of fire. Each influence is a shot on a gun. So she's like, you'd like it. So get away from me, you bitch.
What's it doing every time?
Well, damage. Oh, like poison.
Oh.
It's like, doo, 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 doo.
What's she firing?
I don't know. Cannon. it's very, shooty. It's really weird.
Oh. But, okay.
I think he beat me like 12-4 or something, or 12-6.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem quite pillow-fisted, so I actually had to try and fight my way out of that game, which is weird, with Fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
But I am enjoying the game. I've got my real first test tonight, which is playing against Butchers.
Are you playing Sherwin?
No, I'm playing Big D.
Alright, okay. Yeah.
So, it would be a gentle...
A gentle spanking.
Rather than a full-on destruction.
Full-on, strap yourself in.
I'm looking at the rules, going, oh, well, you know... I'll just focus on the ball.
Yeah.
I've got the speed. I'll focus on the ball. Then I looked. They've got so much speed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They've got like... I mean, you're only playing on a, 36-inch? 36-inch.
Yeah.
Some of the models have got like 20-inch threat.
Well, and there's core rules, aren't there? Because like, if you pass the ball to another player, you can pass and go for an influence. Moving a player forward.
Momentum.
Moving a player another four. So there's core rules to extend everybody's threat range.
Yeah, but they don't need it. I'm saying, on the cards, they've got like this guy or girl that one of the captains called Slice or
You're dead.
Fillet, that's her name, Fillet.
Yeah.
And you go, you total up her threat, and it's like, oh my God. She's got like 20 inch threat. So she stands on the centre, she can get anywhere on the pitch. And whatever she hits is dying. So my dream in my head of just playing elf ball and grabbing the ball and kind of out dodging and out manoeuvring ain't going to work against this team.
You're using fishermen, aren't you?
Fishermen.
So, I mean, I guessing what you might need to do is, well, if you get some influence, momentum, isn't it? We're getting the wrong terms. Spend the momentum on defensive tactics, like when they come at you, like charge defence and counters and stuff. Huh? Yeah, because that might be your best bet. That might force him to, like, I found that a bit in Gilbert. If you are countering a lot, it forces. So you've got a low tackle or a low, like, so if it's football, like, so you've got a low dodge or a low knockdown.
Dodge.
Your result is.
Yeah, but you can't take it.
Why not?
Because you're going to take damage, knockdown, and tackle.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is, yeah, because I was trying to do that.
I suppose fishermen mostly do. Oh, really? You sure?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, ugh. Because the tackle is what I need to get out.
Yeah, yeah, because that, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't take it.
It's not something like in my Mason's squad they have, but like, I mean, like, because I've used it. I mean, what I was saying is I found it keeps like the damage output you get low because they often have to, I can't choose the damage one because he'll knock me down on the counter.
Jump in and then you knock down on counter and they get the charge and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, they knock you down and then you don't get to count.
Well, that's the thing, they have to choose knockdown first.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Anyway, seems like an interesting game. And we'll talk a little bit more about Guild Ball because there's some interesting stuff in the week in Wargaming.
Yeah.
So that's me done. So on to the week in Wargaming. What do you want to start with, Paul? There's a lot going on.
So am I talking about Super Sunday?
No, that's much later.
That's later, right. Okay. So week in Wargaming, what is in...
I'll talk about War Machine Mark III.
Yeah, go on.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, let's start there.
So War Machine Mark III, they finally ponied up and put their hands up and said that some of the issues are a little bit more serious than we've acknowledged.
In the latest Insider, which is their like online blog, it just reads, "Hey world, we messed up, and in January we're going to try and do something about it."
Yeah, but they also tried to say that, "We planned this all along.
It's a good thing."
We planned this all along with our dynamic updates. Yeah. So, updates. For those of you that know anything about the game, I said initially, straight away, as soon as I read the rules, that throws were broken and needed sorting. So, first point, throws need sorting.
Yeah.
Second point was...
Cricks.
Cricks are bad.
Cricks are too bad. Yeah.
Because they don't have access to shield guards and stuff. They just get blown away.
Yeah, shot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Point three was they want to...
5% increase, decrease.
Yeah, so the best 5% of models are going to get toned down a little bit. The worst 5 are going to get toned up. That's reasonable.
Fair enough. Expect that.
Yeah, and then the fourth point was that Scorn's completely broken.
Scorn's completely, like, unfun. That was the words they used.
So it's like, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't do anything. It's not fun to use. They're not competitive. Right.
They just don't... What do they do anymore? Yeah. They don't do anything. So...
So basically, I'd say...
They're going to rework score.
I'd expect the 5% adjustments, because that's an update, of what... Okay, what's been overused, let's readdress it. But the whole, we've got two factions totally...
Well, not two factions. They just need to give Crix something to protect itself. I don't know what that'll be. And they need to give... they need sort throws. That's easy. Yeah. That could have been done ages ago. Yeah. And then the Scorn thing's a bit more interesting.
Scorn's massive. That's
so what are we talking about? They're going to have to produce a new deck of cards for the whole faction.
I don't know, but it's. I mean, it's a bit of time. I'm afraid from now until January, it's like it'd be very. I mean, I think to a lot of War Machine players, they'll just stop playing until that update comes out.
Because they're talking about this is only the headlines. There may be other stuff.
Yeah,
It's like when they announced Mark III. It's like now we're in a. We're in a stasis. We're in, we don't know what's coming now. So, kind of, what you're doing now may be a waste of time. Mm. If you're playing in tournaments, play away. But then, beyond that, the stuff you're learning could be going in a few months.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
You need to do this as quickly as possible.
It's strange, isn't it? Because it's like, okay, so, like, I've heard comments say, well, at least they're addressing it. Well, personally, I'd rather they didn't mess it up to need to address in the first place, but that's wishful thinking. And yeah, it's good that they're going to try to correct what's gone wrong, But I mean, why do they need to spin it like if we always planned it? Like that's like just like,
well, they always planned the mechanism to put it right, but they certainly didn't plan this.
Yeah.
It was like, some of the things were so obvious. It was like GW with, was it called the Power Scroll?
Yeah.
In 7th or 8th?
8th edition Warhammer, yeah.
And people were trying to justify its existence, saying it was intended. It's like, this is not intended. A 5-year-old kid could see that this wasn't intended. to put your level 1 on a dragon and go and blow an army turn 1. It's like, this is stupid.
Do you want to say why it was, what the rules mechanic
for the Power Scroll?
Yeah. You might not. Listeners might not know that.
Well, I don't know what they're listening to us for if they don't know. It's the Warmaster podcast. I'm sure you've, in the fantasy universe, there was a 30-point magic item. Something you take like any wizard, level 1, and he just automatically irresistible forced a spell.
I think it was any doubles, wasn't it?
Oh, I think it was worse than that. But even if it was any doubles, the amount of dice you could roll, because of the way the system worked, the odds of you not rolling a double were ridiculous. So I think you could roll something like eight dice.
The thing is, some of the spells are well worth a miscast. Like,
you didn't care about the wizard.
Well, that's to say, like, you've
Put him on a horse, put him on something, get him up the front, blow him up.
Yeah.
Take off the opponent's army with some stupid dwellers or...
I had some really bad experience games of magic in Fantasy 8th because how some of the spells were just like dwellers was initiative checks and I used to play dwarves and it's like, so what's the
lose
point?
My general on
it's like, oh great.
What, you have to roll like a 5 to save your general or
something like
stupid?
That and it's like, and it's just like, it's just automatic, it's like, oh well, there you go, that's the game.
So yeah, so stuff like that. Anyway, so they're gonna put playtest it properly now because the community's playtesting it. It's not internal.
Yeah.
When GW, I don't know if you ever remember, like between 6th and 7th edition, GW stopped external playtesting of Warhammer because my old club Tainlorn used to be part of the playtesting groups, and that's when things started going wrong in Warhammer.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, it's like, people don't mind if stuff's good and other stuff's not quite so good. That's part of the game. There's meta game, it goes up and down and stuff. The problem is when stuff's completely broken or completely garbage and it's obvious that they don't care or they didn't play test.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? Because you want... Because people care a lot about these games, don't they? And like, they
invest money and time.
And they want the designers themselves to care as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think, it's... And that is across all levels. I remember playing in an event in like a shop event in Chelmsford, and the store member there didn't care about his own event, and it's like, you're supposed to care. you're paid to care. It's like,
you're paid to care.
It's like, that's annoying.
That is annoying. So like, for the longest time now, people have been saying that Scorn players just haven't discovered the new faction.
Zen.
Yeah, whatever it is. The new zeitgeist for Scorn. And now he's finally accepted by the powers that be that they really did just cock this up.
Yeah.
And that's good, because that there's been some very senior Scorn players, like Martin, Hornicek, saying that this faction just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's positive.
I mean, War Machine will hopefully go into a better place come January.
Come SmogCon. Lots of big releases.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, that might be the... I'm hoping that is the... gets a drive for SmogCon, for John Webb's sake. I think that's the case.
I'm sure it will.
Wait and see. I mean, it's...
So, that announcement was only today. Or last night. That's good.
It was a big deal.
Next announcement was today.
Today.
What was that one? Guild Ball.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about that now.
Lordy.
Credit, that is fantastic. Guild Ball are doing a box set called Kickoff, and it has two complete six-player teams in it, Maces and Brewers.
With
dice, with tokens.
Rule book.
All for £50.
And that's 45 quid, really.
Although you can only
get 10% off. You can get 10% off, so 45 quid is what you're paying.
Yeah, and even if you own one of those teams, it's still a fantastic deal.
I don't own any of those teams.
I mean, like, people will buy that even if they own the teams. You know, for all the extras you've got.
Yeah, I mean, on the downside, if there is such a thing, is there single-piece plastic miniatures.
I mean, they're plastic versions of the current, current models of those. They're not individual, like the new sculpts.
No.
Plastic versions of metal models, but aside from that, I mean,
on the plus side of those, you can chuck them in a box,
yeah,
You don't need to worry about having foam cases.
But also, I mean, they will still look good once they're painted.
Yeah. Maybe not quite so good, but they will look good.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you're not into the whole miniature kind of, again, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, but if you're not into the making of miniatures and painting and stuff, then yeah, you want to play with your kids, just grab the box and it's there ready to go.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's they're probably, the team selection's a good choice. Like, they're interesting. They chose Brewers because Masons, I'd have thought they'd choose another original team, like not one that came later.
I don't know the history. Did they not? But they weren't.
Brewers weren't original. Okay. Like, they weren't the original.
But they wanted a fighty team that wasn't Butchers, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
And Masons are a general team, so it's like humans against kind of maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, like yeah.
If you want to get into Guild Ball,
that is the way you get. Buy that, because you will spend more on getting individual stuff easily.
I merely spend that amount of money on a mat to play on, and you get a board to play on.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be great for tournament play because it's just more hard wearing, isn't it? I mean. Yeah, like it's just a really good product.
Yeah.
Because I gotta say, like, Steamforge make really nice stuff, and like all of their officially backed stuff is all lovely quality, and like to have it as a game in a box, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Makes a very.
I'm amazed. When I was seeing it today, I was looking at it going, oh my god, you get templates with it, you get this, you get that. And I think you might even get two sets of templates.
Yeah.
And it's two sets of tokens, and it's like, Jesus, man.
Good deal.
Yeah, I mean. Well done, Matt and Rich. That's just an amazing deal. So
that's raising a bar.
Yeah, if you've ever thought about this game, you're going to look at this box set and go, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
that's like half what GW would charge.
Yeah,
it probably is. I mean, the miniatures are probably different to how GW would do it.
Yeah,
but GW would probably charge $100 for that box.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
There you go. What else has been happening in the world this week of wargaming? Oh, White Dwarf.
I just wanted to mention, honourable mention, like, I've been getting... So there's been 2 months now of White Dwarves as one as a big monthly magazine again.
Yeah.
Which they say is a new idea. love that.
There's nothing new in the world.
Like, you know, but I got to say, their issues are really good, actually. I'm really enjoying this new, like, this older, redone format of White Dwarf.
The September one, I've tried to buy and it's sold out.
Yeah, can't buy it. Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
And in there, like, this month's has been the Genocide Occult is the big release, and I love the look of those models. I think they're a fantastic concept for an army, and I'm just saying, like, that is a really good thing. This White Dwarf. I mean, I'm not playing 40k. I'm going to play a bit of Kill Team. That's it. I don't play Age of Sigmar. You know, like, I'm never going to play Age of Sigmar.
Well,
yeah, you know, like, and I'm surprised they have released something for Hobbit, but that is a system.
No, I play Hobbit.
Okay, do you?
So, yeah, my kids. So okay. There's a Dane model there. Yeah, he looks a badass.
Dane on his war pig.
On his pig.
Yeah.
I play Lord of the Rings, not Hobbit.
Okay, fair enough.
It's the same thing.
But anyway, I still would want to pick up this magazine because it's very well done. You know, as it's got good articles in it, it's nicely presented. It's you get a lot for your. I mean, they're charging £6 retail, so you'd get it for less for somewhere else. But it is always cut. It's so far the 2 months have come with something free, and it's a big magazine you get for £6. They've never done bigger magazines than this before. I mean, if nothing else, because if you like looking at nice models, and the painting guides alone are like how to paint your paint splatter is always a good.
So
one.
They've got some new textured paints here.
Yeah.
I mean, microbeads.
Yeah, they're always.
I'm sure they're banning microbeads, aren't they? In the world. Maybe not in paint. Maybe not in paint. In makeup and stuff.
So, like, in this issue, you got a free graphic novel, like start a prequel to a series of graphic novels they're going to do. Yeah.
Whoever it is that's in charge of the now GW, he's just really pulling out the stops, because they're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well done them.
Yeah, I mean, this Genocide Occult, like, army, I just love it as they say the concept of it. They're basically, so their Genocide has infiltrated a human world. So they're not like, oh, this is an army that would play against Eldar, because they wouldn't, because they're an army that would play against Imperial Guard or Astrum Militarum, if we want to use the wrong name. Yeah, like, or Space Marines. That's who they would play against, because they're like humans turned aliens. Because it says in the flyer, like, they try, you know, Gene Sillers have tried to infiltrate orcs, doesn't work. Eldar, they're too noticeable. Humans is all about. The models are fantastic, and it would make me want to play 40k, that kind of army. You know, but I wouldn't want to play 40k in the terms of what the game actually, like, is competitively. Doesn't interest me at all.
Right.
But if I was playing 40k against a similar like-minded friend, fantastic. You know, like I'd collect, oh, I'm going to do Gene Stealer Cult, you do Imperial Guard. We'll have, I mean, the table, the battle report in here looks fantastic. The table it's on, which is like a industrial world, like, gone cultist. And there's like,
it's kind of almost Necromundry, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I mean, the just, feel of it. Yeah, like, this is great here.
Wasn't there a Gene Stealer Cult in Necromunda?
It didn't really work. Yeah.
It didn't work.
Clarky made it, no, show it. No, it didn't work. Yeah. When you're a hive ganger, you're facing off against a Gene Stealer, it just doesn't happen.
Well done, GW. Right, what's on next? Today, KR sponsorship. Thank you, Mr. KR.
Yeah, thank you, KR.
For
We'll be tapping you up for the January event. Hopefully, you're still sponsoring us. Yeah, for that one, we'll see. Maybe if not, there's another company hoving
I'm
into
sure
you.
They are still sponsoring. I haven't heard anything.
Well, yeah, we haven't been told they're not.
But the like, guy on the inside's gone.
Yeah, so
we will see.
But we'll see. Yeah.
Right. Today's match, what did we do today, Paul?
So, today's matchup was we wanted to play another Winter Roller. So, but this kind of feeds off what happened on Sunday.
Yeah,
well, so, don't I have to talk about Sunday first?
You can do it either way. If you want to do Sunday first, then just tag this on the end.
I think I have to talk about Sunday first.
Right,
I?
Super Sunday.
Yeah, Super Sunday. So, Jim and Alex from the Saffron Warden Club, and Nick from our club, and Sherwin as well, as a new player. You remember from the interview, maybe if you listened to him, all met up on Sunday at 40K to play some Warmaster. I was going to teach Sherwin Warmaster, and we were going to play games using the Steamroller pack that we've dropped, Winterroller pack, that we can create to try out some scenarios and test them out again. And so see, what do we think? Like, is this good? Is this bad? What additions we need to make?
Right.
So, I got to play two games. I played Jim, first of all. I used Skaven, and he used a Chaos Army, which he uses that Slaanesh Demon Army and re-rolls it
pink,
in very well.
Yeah, Menace
one, it's good. It's good. It's a really clever. That's a really clever way. He's got several different lists out of that one army. It's fantastic for that. That was a really good game. We played Meet and Engagement. The scenario stood up to it really well. Everyone was really happy. We made one change in that.
Before that game?
No. Like, we talked about it, and we were like, yeah, okay, so that's the change we're going to make now, is we're going to get rid of characters rolling separately, deployment. Because we talked about it a lot, and it was like, it's different enough. It doesn't need that in it.
Extra level. Yeah, because it's the variance. It can lead to some really lopsided initial turns.
Exactly.
You'll sort it out eventually, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically, you just place your characters, like, after you've placed your units. Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it.
It's the simplest way, isn't it?
Yeah. Your units are where the units are. The characters would naturally be with or around their units.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Because if you've got one brigade isolated in one corner, well away from your other two, well, you have to make that choice. Are you going to send a character there to command it? Yeah, if you're not, you're leaving them completely. You're just giving them up. Yeah, like with no command.
Well, you'd send a junior character, wouldn't you?
Well,
you
wouldn't
put your general. But if we rolled, it could be the general.
Well, that's
it could be bad bears.
And that would perhaps negatively impact the game too much. Because if someone, I'm just imagining in a tournament, somebody unfortunately rolling, my general got put in the weakest of my brigades on its own, and I lost in two turns because they got annihilated.
Oh, yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
The crazy scenario.
Yeah.
Your general ends up with a brigade of nobblers. they could scout, can they? Nobblers skinks.
Yeah.
And then they just get vaporized.
Yeah, exactly. So let's not have that. We want so we don't need to. And you would choose them. Where we thought about, do you place, we and Barry were talking about this today, like, do you place the characters with brigades? It's easy just to place them afterwards, isn't it?
Yeah. And, like, so you're rolling for your brigades, then you just set up your characters.
Yeah, set up your characters.
And then move on.
I had a really good game against Jim. It looked like Jim was going to win because his Chaos Warrior, he took three units of Chaos Warriors, and it was an idea. It was like the anti-horde kind of list. Like,
so three in column.
Three in column, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way I
and,
do it.
And, oh, it was cutting me. I mean, basically...
even though you're attacking with way more and you got all the support.
The meet engagement fell out is we ended up playing, went lengthways down the table. We had two, like, L shapes of deployment. And I basically on one side, off against two units of Marauder Horsemen, I had over half my army, right, like in one huge blob. Like, I took a picture of it because I was just like, look at the numbers here, it's hilarious.
And the Marauder Horsemen just ran away.
Well, just like, they just were getting orders, they were just getting like, my Skaven moving forward and shooting them with their like, and the warp lighting cannons were doing well,
right,
like for a change. They weren't blowing up, they were rolling well, and I was just like, this is fantastic. But this, this Chaos Warrior Brigade got involved, and I couldn't scratch it. I attacked with my best stuff.
Best stuff. What's your best stuff?
Rogers.
They couldn't do it.
No. I just couldn't. It just didn't. What happened is exactly what I thought would happen, because he was protecting it with a dragon character.
Oh, so you were terrified?
Yeah. I just.
Oh, so he had the dragon on the front line.
He was putting him into the unit. It was like
in the middle,
on the edge, like the edge, the one that's going to get fought most. He was just like, it was like, you know, big balls tower in the tactic. But yeah, I couldn't get in. I couldn't attrition it. So I was looking at the game state.
On attrition.
Yeah. I was looking at the game state, and I was like, I'm just losing units every turn to this, and I'm not doing anything back. I need to get three to break him. And I saw that he'd put basically some cavalry too close to me. And so I sent in a unit of... I basically initiative charged one unit of Skaven into these two cavalry... into a cavalry unit. And I was hoping I was going to get a death frenzy on.
Five up cavalry?
Yeah. I was just like... I was hoping I was going to get a death frenzy. Did. Jim had a dispel scroll. Chose not to use it.
Really?
Yeah. And this Skaven... I rolled three dice.
Of course you did.
I was like, boom, really good result. They smashed one unit, advanced into the next unit. You know, took both two units. And then I basically surrounded the one unit of Chaos Warriors that had broken off because it couldn't get back to the others. I just literally surrounded it with troops and just like... And got it and won by one and got it to die. And so I won that. It was a fantastic game. It was a perfect game. Brilliant game.
Perfect game.
Yeah. Because Chaos Warriors are so... Like, that is what beats me. Like, I was like...
Ogres, even.
Yeah, my God.
If Chaos Warriors can do it, Ogres can do it.
Oh, even better. Like, so... And then Jim was teaching Sherwin. Janaway played Nick. And they took a longer time playing.
They played the escort,
they played off the clock, so I had Jim on the clock. Well, our game finished with bags of time left.
Right.
Jim's a fast player. And Jan has turned up a bit hungover, so like his was more a sedate thing. So that was... And then my second game, as I played Nick, I tried the escape scenario.
You tried it?
There's two games of escape going on.
Right.
And we found that scenario needs a lot more work, so we binned it off, actually.
Okay, so it didn't make it out of alpha, it's gone back.
It's gone back. It's binned off, like escape. So there we go. But that was it was productive. It was good fun. And, 40K, great hosts, had things on a tab, like no pressure, no pressures at all. And we it's a shame they only open at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, because like we'd probably start earlier if we could.
So what was the feedback on the control and holding?
Battle line, everybody likes. Meeting engagement, everybody likes.
With the new character rules.
But basically at its core, everybody likes. The scenario one taking hold, people like. I mean, to be honest, by their own admittance, both Nick and Jammers didn't concentrate on the fact of it.
So what were they playing with, and why did they not?
Well, I don't know. They just didn't think to do it, really. Strangely.
So what were they? What armies? Was Nick Empire
Nick
or...? Was,
no, Nick brought Tomb Kings, and Jammers was Norse.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they just didn't think... Like, he did a Norse army that Rid painted for him.
Oh, it's not Norse, is it? It's like some Northern Empire thing. Yeah.
But I looked at it, I talked about it afterwards, and both of them, like, when... Oh, yeah, I suppose I could have just, like... I could have gone for that scenario, tried for it.
Yeah.
Just neither of them chose to do it.
Just having too much fun smashing.
Yeah, basically. Well, that's fair enough. Like, okay, so there's not a problem with that scenario. It's just, they could have done. But with the escape one, it needs a lot more work. Like, Jim and Alex both they played each other with that, and Janice just picked it apart too.
So what was the... Was there one glaring
error?
Well,
basically, it doesn't... Because when the armies are equal point size, and the escape scenario is one army surrounded with an objective that they're trying to get across the table, well, what if that army that's surrounded all plumps to go heavy one side, because against, a third of the enemy army, defeats it, and then just camps out... Like, there's no turn limit. They just then camp out and win the game in another way, and win the game by breaking the enemy. Because the setup, because if the attacking force had more points, that scenario would work. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's too complicated for tournament play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't, so...
You can't have different sized armies.
No. So that's what it needs. It's more... unless it basically, but that's the point of playing this, trying things out, like R&D, is it's like, well, so you could do that kind of scenario in a friendly, like, against your friend kind of, like, they both know that what it is going into that. Doesn't really work in the tournament then, because one side needs to have more value, more bigger than the other.
Yeah.
For it to work.
Yeah.
And
systems exist where people play those kind of games, yes. Like lopsided games, but
exactly.
Generally not in tournaments.
Exactly. And the only one we didn't play was Fog of War. Didn't have time for that.
Yeah. So what did we play today then?
So basically the Sunday was so successful in a sense that we're like, we'll make this a yearly thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not that weekend.
No. Like, we'll choose a date that we can all do. But like, let's do that. Yeah. Like, and going forward, we're going to leave our development of like army lists that we think might need some development for 2018. We don't have time to do it before then. I sorted out the tickets are now on sale for the January event. Bunker War Master 3 are now online. Yeah, like, and I've posted it up on already. But that was something I needed to sort it out with Andy, like, you know, spelling out to him what I wanted him on the website. And it's got written up there, the Winter Roller. It's going to be Winter Roller 17. Every time a ticket's sold, it's going to come to me, like, who's bought it, so I can email them the finished product. About roughly a month, that's what I aim for, in mid-December, to have this tournament pack finished.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's all really well organised. So today we played Fog of War.
It was completely random.
Completely random that we rolled it up. You know, like, and I was using a high elf list and Barry was using a dwarf list.
Yeah, I like the dwarf list.
Like the high elf list.
The dwarf list.
Go, talk about your dwarf list.
Oh, it's the same list as last week, so
yeah,
is that my list?
There it is.
Very nice, sir. Very nice it is too. So we have 6 warriors. Because warriors are warriors, and they're good. 4 rangers, that's as many as you can have. I want to load up on those bad boys. 2 troll slayers to spearhead the warrior brigades. 2 cannons, 2 flame cannons. 1 gyrocopter, who admittedly is seeming weaker the more I play with him. He does help with the scouting. I think
he's worth having one.
We'll see. A general, a hero, a runesmith, an anvil, and a sword of might. And 11 scouts, break of 9. I like it.
So my high elf list is 4 units of spearmen, 4 units of archers, 3 units of silver helms, 2 reavers, 2 chariots, 2 great eagles, giant eagles, 2 bolt throwers, a general, a hero on a dragon with a sword of might, a wizard with a rond of repetition. And that gives me a breakpoint of 10 and a scout's roll of 13. I quite like this as a high elf list personally as well. Now, like, it's interesting trying chariots out for elves. I haven't played many armies that have chariots, so it's interesting trying chariots.
So the difference is, it's not a million miles from my list. I have 2 more spearmen, 2 less archers, and I have 1 extra silver helms, 1 extra reavers, and no chariots.
Yeah.
And then no rod of repetition. I think everything. I might have room for a dispel scroll or something, but it's pretty similar.
But
we'll talk about that in a second. But a decent list, I like it.
I mean, it's coincident. It's conveniently, aside from the dragon, the high elves that I have.
Well, that helped.
Yeah. So this is a list that I was quite pleased about. Yeah, like if I was going to use high elves in an event, this is where I'd start with. Like,
okay. Mm-hmm. Fair income. Mm-hmm. So as we said, we rolled Fog of War. Well, we didn't, but we did.
Shut up, you're breaking the fourth wall.
It's like the battle reports in the GW thing. Yeah. Who's going to win? Did Gene Seal the Cult win?
I haven't read it yet.
All right, well, I'm backing them to win.
Oh, Death Watch are pretty new. Right, anyway, shut up about that.
We decided to pick... We rolled until we rolled a low number for the Fog of War distance. So we got 2, basically, which I thought... It's not 1.
20 centimetres,
But it's enough to be an annoyance.
Yes, I mean, it's important that we hard play test the scenario properly. Let's see what happens if it's this.
So what would happen if it was 10 would be even more horrific than what happened when it was 20.
Because
it's set at 20. I win the scouting, unbelievably, for my little dwarfies.
It was only a difference of
2 because I have to put all my rangers in and the gyrocopter. But you won first turn.
Yes, and you won. In this Fog of War one, I was like, yeah, clearly you want first turn because the fog changes at the end of both your turns.
Yeah.
So you've got the advantage of it.
So if it goes from 20 to 30, your archers are now
in range.
Yeah.
You
want to go first.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself was a little issue with the game. Because normally, first and second, it brings an advantage, but not this big an advantage.
Yeah, exactly. So we started playing the game and we found that the fog was detracting more, I think. It's like, so we got through happy, basically.
No, I didn't like it, even from the start. But yeah. Even the first three turns were over in about 5 minutes each.
Yeah,
because literally you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, we're moving troops. It's just, but there's no engagement. No, yeah, like, there's no shooting. Like, there's no.
Felt like a weird dance. I think the game didn't actually start until maybe turn five.
Yeah, yeah.
When the fog moved to 30 finally. Yeah. Which allowed Paul to shoot some stuff.
Yeah.
And then we kind of manoeuvred. So Paul was on my right flank and I was into his deployment.
Yeah, yeah. Strangely.
With my rangers.
Yeah.
And then
you put a unit of dwarf warriors got up there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, basically, I set up to like get.
Well, you can't see to shoot. Yeah. So it's really strange. You can kind of get into somebody's deployment zone. Yeah.
And not be threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt really weird.
It's good that it changed the game quite a deal, but not in a good way, I think. I don't know, not in a better way. Like,
I would love to play that scenario with something like ogres, because the way they suffer is on attrition on the way in.
Yeah.
There is no attrition. You just walk in, mate. Yeah, you can't see me and I'm here now. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Smash.
We weren't... Basically... Well, the long story short is we played this scenario and we weren't really happy with it, so I think we're going to take it away.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't, it didn't inspire us to, like, oh, maybe it needs a change for us to try again. Actually, no, it's...
It was taking far too much away and bringing not enough.
Yeah.
So, if you're a defensive-type army, like, maybe Dwarves, because they have their... Or maybe Empire.
Empire would be the same position.
Or Bretonians, if you brought trebuchets.
Anything with range above 30. Yeah.
This was really... This could be really bad.
Yeah.
You might play an entire game and not shoot at all.
Yeah, because your cannons never can see anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of... Yeah, it's kind of...
too much. I mean, like, it's not that... It's like, in other scenarios, it's like, okay, so... it's less like you want better infantry because they can hold objectives, but there's still a place for cavalry. In this one, you'd be like, well, why would I take artillery if I can't see with it? Yeah, like if it can't see something to shoot, like because of the whim of the dice, it won't.
Yeah, and on the freak that it gets below 20, you can't even initiative charge at 20. It's the game gets really messy.
Yeah. So basically, in our situation right now is that timings wise, we're October. Come January, we're playing an event using this tournament pack. The tournament pack I would like to be finished, like for a month beforehand, so it's out in the public eye. I've emailed it to everybody who's bought a ticket and people have started buying tickets. That's the tournament pack. Read it. You know, get a chance to play some of it if you can over the Christmas break.
Yeah.
That is what this. Don't come to me and say I never read the thing and complain.
Yeah.
Because it's there. You know, it needs. The event will be three games, so we need three scenarios. We have three scenarios we're very happy with: pitch battle, meeting engagement, take and hold.
Yeah.
We don't need more than. Only if they're genuinely good. We don't need more than three right now.
You wouldn't play that over any of the other three.
No. It would, so bid it, like, put it onto a back, put it into the R&D pile for future. I intend to look through, like, on slow time, all the Fanatic and War Master magazines that there are, that I have, it was quite most of them, and look at the scenario play in those ones and see, okay, what does that really do? Is it worth, can you make a tournament game out of it?
Yeah.
But even if we don't, we don't need another one because you're only going to play three in one day and we have three.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
So it's like, this was like icing. We don't need icing, just need a cake.
Yeah. We've got the cake. We don't. Yeah, exactly. So if it means that goes to print that the steamroller pack, sorry, winter roller pack, I keep saying that.
You
know, like,
you can call it what you want.
Yeah, like.
Reinvent the wheel.
Is three scenarios only. Well, three's enough for now.
Three's all you need.
Yeah, three's all you need.
And then you'll know how to build your army to be able to compete in all those three scenarios.
So we're
back where we were a couple of weeks ago, which is good.
But
going forward, we'll be able to use these scenarios.
Not all R&D is going to always result in successes. That's a point of R&D. And it's not necessarily...
And it was weird how immediately I felt the game just wasn't good.
Because that's the thing. It's like you can think about it and write in like about it, but you have to play it to see. And we had this answer in about half an hour, like already. Yeah. We were just like, so we didn't finish the game.
No.
Like, we're like, let's stop. I've got work later. Like, we can't re-rack. We don't have time to re-rack and record. Let's stop here. And like, and but I like that I like this as a matchup of armies. So our next podcast is going to be these two armies playing against one of the other. Yeah, we'll roll for the scenario. We will actually roll. You know, like, see which one we get and play a game.
Yeah.
So, because, I'm yet to play High Elves. I'm yet to use High Elves against Barry, and I want to.
They're good.
Yeah, and High Elves versus Dwarves seems it's just a classic. It's a classic matchup that I want to, I'd like to see to the finish. So, that's what happened. Basically, we tried Fog of War, and we weren't happy with it. We'd get rid of it.
It's gone. It's gone. Fog of War's gone. What's next on the list?
Blackgate Miniatures update.
Wow. On Monday, my Kickstarter launched, which was exciting times. And we may or may not have funded during the podcast, because we're only about 40 quid away now of funding.
We should have looked beforehand. But it's going to fund, basically.
It will definitely. I think there's something like 0.01%.
It's going to fund, because...
Which is like one in a thousand.
You're so close that... I don't know, somebody will, like, you put in the money to finish.
I can't put
in
my own money.
But like, yeah, no, I know, but like, I'll do it then or whatever. Yeah.
But anyway, so it's more like, most likely going to be a fund, and that's a big step because that allows... And one of the real money sinks is going to be funded.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors are a real money pit, and so are the Armoured Warriors. Yeah. They're the two real big money pits.
Yeah.
Once I get over that hump, we then get into the more juicy, easier stuff.
I want to see what Greenlings look like.
Greenlings, they're a long way down.
Yeah, but I want to see what
long way down. There's lots of, the thing is, that in the world, there's lots of other things you can substitute in.
Yeah.
And the things you can't substitute in are the things that now have reworked the stretch goals are all up the front.
Yeah.
Things like Armoured Warriors.
Yeah.
Things like Cannoneers. Things like Mammoth Riders, all difficult to get.
Yeah.
Characters riding mammoths, impossible to get.
Yeah.
Impossible to get. What it has
need that to convert the conversions.
Yeah, I've like, seen the stuff Jim did. It's superb, but but not everybody's got Jim's skill level for stuff like that. But it has meant that we've had to kick things like the character pack right down because that again is like all cost, no return. So that's had to go all the way down.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's been reworked. Have a look at it if you've ever wanted an ogre army. This is probably the best time to do it. Get involved and make it happen.
I mean, it's very it's like from some. I am an ogre chieftain backer. Thank
ogre
you.
Chieftain.
You may
or may not get a free chieftain model at some point.
Yeah, exactly. But it means if it keeps funding and you get more stretch goals, you've basically bought a stock of models that you can then change the. Oh, I want them to be those units and those to be those units, which is great. Yeah. Which is like, yeah, fair enough. That's what a Kickstarter should be.
Yeah, I mean, if it gets to about $4,000, then. You will easily be able to make a whole army.
I mean, it's pretty good.
Army.
I mean, you basically funded it in 24 hours, isn't it?
Not quite, but almost.
But like, come on, Barry. Like, you must be happy.
Oh, of course I'm happy. Of course I'm Northern.
All right.
There's degrees of happiness.
You got asked about your Kings of the North game.
Kings of the North. That's for later.
That's for later.
That's going to be good, though.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. Right, so...
And something I want to mention before... Well, we're talking... We're going to... Oh, this... Like, the last talk will be computer games... Is that... you finished with your Blackmate miniature?
Blackmate?
No, Blackgate. My Blackmate, oh my God. Right, have you finished with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, so... is that I own a PS4 and I finally bought another computer game for it because I got it for the play Star Wars Battlefront.
You only had one game?
I only had one game, yeah, I got it for that.
Is it good?
It's very good. But, Vermintide is finally going to come out on the PlayStation 4. It should be here tomorrow in the mail.
Well, you haven't even got it yet?
No, I ordered it.
So how do you know it's any good? You were, like, frothing, saying, oh, it's brilliant.
Because I've seen enough screen.
Stab him in the face.
Basically, it was PC only, and my PC wouldn't run it. And I was like, oh, that looks so good. That's so up my face.
Did you review it? Did you see the reviews? Is it any good? Like the actual game.
Yeah, but I've talked to you about this before. Like
it's Scott's game, and I don't care.
It's a context. It's like apparently it's quite good.
Okay.
And it's you're a band of heroes. You can be a dwarf. I'm brilliant. You can be an elf. You can be humans, and you're fighting against endless hordes of ale. No, it's old hammer.
Okay.
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't like it if it was Age of Sigmar. But like, you're fighting against Skaven, and the Skaven look great.
Right.
The graphics look great. Yeah.
There was an old Skaven game that I played like in the 90s, something like Curse of the Horned Rat.
Curse of the Horned Rat, yeah. Some Dark Omen, yeah. They did two computer games, Warhammer computer
like
games.
Like turn-based.
They were really good, yeah.
I'm sure you played them.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't turn-based, they were
real time.
Real time. But yeah, it's so. I mean, this computer game, like, okay, I suppose, like, because it's like a first person hack and slash.
But you can't be Skaven.
No.
They can't even mod it to make it Skaven.
I'd love to be Skaven. But that wouldn't work, would it? Because it's like,
why?
Skaven have the numbers. Like, you can't be, like, a Skaven killing hordes of,
Who's sending hordes in?
So, right, you know,
like, what's that game where you build a dungeon and the adventurers have to get in and you're the dungeon keeper. You're the Skaven master.
Yeah, Dungeon Lords it's called.
Yeah. Send more Skaven.
Okay, so that would be cool. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, if its flaw, I imagine, is like, I say you've got a shield or something and you just block all the time and you can't be hurt and I don't know. But it'll be fun while it lasts because it wasn't expensive either. Like under 30 quid delivery. It's like, well, there you go.
Right, so.
But we have this vassal post from Jeff, which we're going to talk about.
I've got to apologise, it's a little bit old. It's on the Specialist Games Forum. Are you on there?
I mean, I've posted up there, but. I wonder where this message had come from.
Yeah, but it was. I didn't get any notification, so I got a message recently. I saw somebody in a post that said, I PM'd you, and I thought, oh, somebody's PM'd me. I didn't even know I had a PM. Yeah, yeah. So I looked at my messages, and this was from April.
Oh. Oh, dear.
So, sorry, Jeff. But we're reading it out now.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit late. It's a good forum. Yeah. You need to get on there and post your events.
Well, I have done, like, in the past. Right. It never seemed a very active forum. Like, you know, there's a lot of views left.
I think there's a lot of voyeurs, not much posting going on.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't seem a lot of posting to me.
Nah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, of course. I mean, I have put stuff up there. Well, Barry got this message in April, but Barry doesn't check things. Yeah, so Barry's fault. Says, hi, Barry, not Paul. And like,
was to me.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that.
That's why I said, does he not know you're on there? Because he mentioned you.
Okay, right.
But he didn't contact you.
Am I going to read this?
If you want.
Right. I'm glad to see that you're now active on this forum. I really like the podcast that you and Paul do. Oh, yeah.
Might not anymore.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had any interest in helping promote my Warmaster Vassal mod found here at this address. I made the mod because of the lack of local opponents. Sad. And have one friend who I sometimes play against. There's a battle report from a much early edition of the mod.
I will put a link to that,
because
obviously you need the link. I'm not going to read it out because it's like... It's massive.
The mod has some issues, and there still is a lot of work to be done. I'm encouraging anyone I can hand to help, especially anyone who knows about Java programming can help the technical features of the mod, like an auto-calculated wheel distance. Sprite making is also very welcome, even if it's making doubles of what you're already there. The mod is due for an update. I have a few things I'm slowly working on, but a combination of work and recently becoming a full-time student has really slowed me down. Feel free to ask any questions, play around with the mod, or even try and organise a game. Any advice or experience from an outside source is appreciated. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, I have played Vassal games in the past. Not often, I'll be honest, because I find the lack of social interaction a little bit limiting.
Yep, yep.
But if I was based somewhere where there were no players and this was the option...
Yep.
Yeah, I'd totally give it a go.
I don't think that there's anything in the Warmaster game system that couldn't make it a vassal game.
It's a relatively simple game.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of its beauties. Yeah, so I think, I think it could easily be a good vassal game.
I mean, should
we explain what vassal is?
Well, for those of you who don't know, it's like a digital tabletop.
Yeah.
It's like 2D. Like, people are trying to do in 3D now. People are trying to play on 2D.
Yeah.
Like, Paul has 2D terrain.
Yeah.
And the
warship.
For other games.
Yeah.
And I say, well, you might as well play with tokens and then just play. You could play 2D.
But you could, yeah.
And then it's just like, was the beauty in the game.
It's basically a very simple interface style of a computer game, what is Vassal. But, because it's a top-down 2D picture. But it could easily, Warmaster could easily be that.
They have it for virtually any game you can think of. There'll be a Vassal module written for it, whatever it is.
Yeah, War Machine Vassal was a big, has been around a while and people use it.
I played Monpocalypse and Vassal. Yeah. I've played bits and bobs. Yeah, there's lots of. It's definitely worth. If you can't find a game and you want to play, it's definitely a place you should look for a game. Although you do need to generate a kind of a core of players before it has a life.
Yeah.
Because if it's just you playing, there's no opponent. You need an opponent.
Exactly, yeah. The other, obviously, on the complete other end of the spectrum to Vassal is, because I can tie this in, Alex January was talking to me about on Sunday, was Total War Warhammer. Yeah, like the brand spanking new, not that new now, but Total War series, which is Warhammer, and he says he's loving it.
Amazeballs, yeah.
Amazeballs. And I said to him, I would love it. I have a PC to run it.
Is it not just like one of the other games just skinned into Warhammer? Have they really? Have they done anything
Warhammer? I asked that. The writers, designers of this computer game are clearly Warhammer fans because there's too much detail in there for them not to be.
Right, okay. So it's not a case of just you change the face from an orc.
No.
It's an orc now.
No. It's really good.
Right.
And and you can play it online, obviously. That's how you play it. And I would love to own the thing, but I just don't have a PC. And can I... I don't need a good PC. And it's like, would I...
Well, you need a laptop. That's the problem.
Would I spend...
That's the problem in the world. Nobody wants to buy a PC. You need to buy a laptop. Yeah. And then you're going to spend £1,000 buying a laptop to run a game.
Exactly.
And you go like,
Yeah, exactly.
Is the game really worth £1,100 to me?
I know some people who have done exactly that. I don't think I'm that person. But I would love to... I'd love to give it a go. Like at some on somebody else's machine, just to see what it were like.
I think the learning curve's too steep.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I think you need to play for a good few weeks to be able to do anything.
Of course, and I was talking to Janners about it, and he was like, and it was just it's got a lovely campaign system. He's in the middle of this campaign. It's and they're doing more armies as DLC, that kind of stuff. And it's like, and it pictures of that like gameplay it looks fun, looks great. Yeah, that took a lot of work. That Total War game. They must have been designing it a long time. Because it came out after the world had died anyway. Like, of the company they got it for. So, never mind. But, if it turned up as a port on a PlayStation 4, I'd be buying that. That's not happening.
That's not
that kind of game that could go there. Like, apparently the Battlefleet Gothic computer game is a really good one. But it's not. It's all on PC. I'm afraid a lot of the computer. There's a lot of computer games I want to play, but just PC only.
Just too intensive.
Too intense.
So on another thing about GW, they've pulled back their IP from Fantasy
Flight. That is.
So I wonder what that means. Do you think they're going to do stuff with it?
No.
Do you think they're just going to sit on it and let? Well, what's the point in not letting them do it?
I don't know.
Unless you're going to do it yourself. You might as well get some money rather than no money.
Yeah, I suppose. It's a shame, but hopefully it means they do so. I mean, there is more rumours now of a new Aptus Titanicus game coming out, which will be 8mm in scale, rather than... Six used to be. War Masters 10. You know, so it'll be 8mm scale Titans. Whether that then expands into other stuff as well.
So why changing the scale? Just because the infantry are too small?
Maybe.
Because they really are ridiculously small.
Yeah, they are tiny.
But it's literally just the blob on the head is all you can do.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But,
You don't think they're just doing it to invalidate all the other stuff, do you?
No, I don't think so. I think that would sell a lot, that kind of... Like, if it was well done,
right.
A modern Aptus Titanicus game. I mean, look how many people wanted to play... A fan-made kind of version of it.
Yeah. 10.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, so I think that would sell a lot. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
so. It's our time on.
Well, we're nearly done. Yeah. Oh, look at that! Where does the time go, sir? Where does the time go? So, we talked about your event. We talked about the Tribes is coming up in about 5 weeks. So, if you want to play, come and play.
They've sold 13 tickets for it.
Plus me.
You haven't bought a ticket yet?
No, but he knows I'm coming.
Oh, okay. Well, then they've got a decent amount of players. And I've started...
If I ever see him, I'll just give him the cash.
Yeah, and tickets have started selling for my one now that it's that's in January the 14th.
Right.
Which is great.
Let's see if we get any foreign visitors again.
Christoph's already mentioned he can't make it. But he would like to.
Of course he would.
Yeah. Anyway, but there's a name in there already of a ticket sold that I don't recognise. So it's great. I mean, ultimately, it's a tournament. I mean, once it goes beyond eight, I'm not going to turn anyone away. But the tournament runs perfectly when it's eight players because it's three games. So it doesn't have to like be big to work.
No.
It needs to be eight, and we know that four are going to attend because I arranged the date that four people could make. It's already.
You'll get more than
that. Oh, yeah, I guess, I hope so. But Phil Ills is playing in the Tri-Wiz, I am playing in the Tri-Wiz, you're playing in the Tri-Wiz, Nick's going to try and play in the Tri-Wiz. Yeah.
I just don't know what to play. I like dwarves a lot.
You could borrow my dwarf army.
Okay, you're not got enough rangers. Maybe I'll borrow Janice's dwarf army.
Send
more rangers.
Well, yeah.
Rangers are good.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Like Skaven are good.
Yeah.
Rangers are good because they're like Skaven. But they got guns, and they got 5 of armour and 4.
Would you just use a unit of Thunderers as Rangers then? Like you have been.
Yeah, but I hadn't realised how good Rangers are.
Right.
I'd hate to play without them. Well, Dwarves wouldn't work without them, I guess.
I'll look out. I'll keep an eye out for a Dwarf unit, Ranger unit, because why not have, you know...
You should have four anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should have four. So anyway, that's it for this exciting week of Super Sunday.
Yeah.
You can contact us at warmasterpodcast@googlemail.com or the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the Specialist Games Forum if you want to come and find me there. I'm Barry Pittman. I don't hide my moniker. He's Paul Winter.
Yeah, I don't hide either.
He doesn't go on there.
But you're right, there's no notifications if you get a reply.
You may have one. It may have emailed you at the same time, you just don't know.
No, I check it quite regularly.
What, the messages?
Yeah, I do check it.
You click where the message was. Yeah.
So, but...
You're better than me, then. Well done, you. So that was the War Master Podcast, episode 35, with Paul and Barry.
Thanks for listening.